We are back in the basement for another episode of The Disconnect. I'm your host, Zach Hayes, and as always, Mr. Phil Hayes joined by my side.
What's going on?
For this week's episode of the podcast. Oh, yeah. I gotta go on a little bit of a rant today, Phil, because I'm becoming deeply frustrated with one of our software providers that we use over at FAMS here, which we have used for probably the last 7 or 8 years now, which has become a big part of our day-to-day. Yeah. And I think it speaks to an overall bigger picture of the disconnect between developers, executives, and real-world users of the application. And I see this as a bigger issue in general, but let me just dive into this a little bit for you, Phil. Let me paint you a picture, because you're a little familiar with this, but it's gotten to the point where this is ridiculous. Now, we've used this, I'm not afraid to say what software platform it is either. It's Inksoft.
Right.
They are a leader in the screen printing and embroidery industry as far as how users such as ourselves manage a working calendar, invoicing, the web stores that we create for customers. All of this is managed through that Inksoft platform. And it is something that is, it's a daily use thing for me. Yeah. I've got it up there. It's always open on my desktop. It's always open on my laptop. It's something that we use at sales, production, everywhere, just to stay organized and to keep all of the files together, manage our calendar, launch web stores, allow people to order online. This is such a big part of what we do. And the tools as we use it have basically been discontinued. Yeah. We got a message from that company saying, hey guys, we are dropping these tools that have been implemented in favor of this new, not necessarily new, but this other, what they call proposals platform that is supposed to be this big solution to automating everything and managing your workflow better. Everything's going to be managed under this proposals tool. And I don't want to get too like inside baseball on this, because it's a lot of things specific to us. But basically, the gist of it is, we're no longer supporting this, even if you've been using it. And because you were always grandfathered in because you've been with us for so long, we're also going to increase your monthly rate at $100 a month for the next 2 years. And then it's going to go up $200 a month.
Yeah.
So we were paying $200, going to be paying $300 now for the next 2 years. And then it'll go up to $400 a month.
Yeah.
Now, my initial reaction to that was, well, that sucks. That's not great, because we've gotten so used to using it. But if proposals is this great tool that is going to solve this major problem that we've been having and going to get everybody on the right track and manage everything from sales to production, then hey, maybe this is a good thing for us. Maybe we will be, it's forcing our hand to learn this new way of doing things, but in the long run, it'll probably be better. We've tried to implement this before, and we've always struggled. And I reached out to them, and I said that. And they said, well, we were going to set you up with an expert, one of our quote-unquote experts.
Right.
Now, we had a conversation with this person, Ryan and myself.
Yeah.
We spent an hour just discussing how we order product, how we order, get in, and check product. Long story short, because I'm not going to go into the details because it's boring to everybody who's listening, but basically it took everything that we were doing, which was basically a three-step process, and it essentially doubled the process in the workflow so that this software could generate more reports and have fancy bells and whistles, but it would become a huge strain as far as how we do things. Basically, we took their software and simplified it. And that's how we were using it. But now we're no longer able to do it that way. So guess what? We put our brains together and we said, instead of paying $300 a month, let's use the Google Calendar, which is how we used to manage orders.
Yeah.
Let's do QuickBooks for invoicing. because we're already paying for Google. We're already paying for QuickBooks. And let's do Shopify for hosting web stores. We're already paying for Shopify.
Right.
You just lost a customer. And I've been following along on these chat threads for the Inksoft user community. Everybody's basically doing the same thing. They're either looking to different software or they're looking to alternative options. And I looked into some of the other software and I'm like, it's going to be the same thing. We're going to pay $150, $200 a month for a small portion of that application that we really need, because what they are trying to do in this world is they are trying to create something that generates a lot of action items and a lot of automation, but that automation requires a lot of individuals checking things along the way, moving things through this workflow, which is more time consuming than just doing the actual work itself. And when I talked to this person who is their quote unquote expert, what kind of experience do you have? Well, I worked in a shop for 3 years. What she was doing, she didn't get into. And I've been building web stores on the side for people.
Right.
Well, I've been using your software for 8 years daily and working in a screen printing shop for the last 17 years.
Right.
And you're going to tell me that this is the right way to do things.
Yeah. I think exactly what happens is that they have a bunch of people that have a job there, and each person may be an expert in that little field, but I bet you there's not a ton of people over there that know how to use the thing as a whole.
Correct.
And yeah. And that's the problem. I think it happens with a lot of places with production lines and stuff. When you have people engineering things, I think you get these people that want to like tweak their little section and make it like complicated, but it's like putting it all together is a tough thing to do.
Well, and not only that, Phil,
it's
that situation of, they are only knowledgeable in the training on that software and not necessarily how it applies to real world scenarios to a shop that has, you know, we showed her the calendar of how many jobs we have running. Cause she's like, well, you just get the jobs in and then you run them and you check them. It's like, well, things don't happen in a 24, 48 hour period. Like we're scheduled out for weeks at a time because we have that much work. Like in a smaller shop, maybe that's the case and maybe that's your experience, but look at this as a bigger picture thing. And it doesn't apply to real world scenarios. And I think that's part of the problem. You have so many people in, whether it's Silicon Valley or in this tech bubble, we can call it. And they have no idea how it actually pertains to the actual working, the people who actually manufacture the product, the people who actually do that. It might sound good in theory, but in reality, it does not translate. And I think that's that disconnect that we're seeing right now. How many different apps and software components are out there? The fact that even our industry alone has, from looking into it, right off the top of my head, about 10 different software platforms that do the same thing. You're telling me that all of those actually serve a good purpose and all those people who have these jobs at those places are actually doing innovative work that is going to change the industry, but that's how they market it.
A lot of times, and I think this goes for not just us, but I think a lot of people in the industry where it's like, you want things to be simplified. You don't want to complicate.
Exactly.
Things.
And that was what Ryan and I were saying about this when we were talking over the software. We said, he made the point and he said, the way this is set up, this is completely ego driven.
Yeah.
This is somebody's ego manifesting what they think the perfect software system looks like. And in their mind, because it can generate these fancy reports, I said, they gave us an example of a report for production for you guys. Yeah. When we send it over, it's one page,
right?
Because I wanted everything in a snapshot. 8 separate pages for basically doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You're not making things easier.
No.
It seems like you are, but you're not. And you know, I was like, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just this specific situation. But I brought this up to Dad the other day, and he says, It's the same thing. We get onboarded with this software. They tell us this is going to be it. And it doesn't do what you want it to do. And you spend all this time diving into it. And it's not as good as a simple Excel sheet and a calendar.
Right.
And that's all you need at the end of the day.
Yeah. When people are, you know, trying to get their job done throughout the day, the last thing you want to do is add more steps to the process. And that happens a lot with us. We're like over there when it's just when everything is on one sheet of a proof, it is so much easier to, you know, to navigate the job.
It's a snapshot.
Yeah. Because when we get that where we have that sometimes where we'll get like four or five jobs on, you know, on one proof where they're all like different sheets. And it's like one always gets lost.
Sure.
One ends up, you know, you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot about that second sheet. Like the best way to do things is like calendar. This is what people want. Calendar. They want a, you know, they just want somewhere you can order. They're worried about ordering things, getting it done and getting it out the door. You don't want all that bullshit.
And this is where I think technology has gotten in its own way.
Yeah.
Because for a long period of time, technology was a savior.
Right.
Technology was something that did make our lives easier. And all of this planning and execution and all these other steps along the way, well, use this app for this and this app for that. I made the point to you the other day. Look at your phone and think about how many apps you have. How many of those do you actually use on a daily basis?
Right.
Probably very few.
Yeah, three or four.
And this is where technology has gotten in its own way. It is now hitting this breaking point where I think technology is actually making the job harder and it's creating busy work in every single industry across the board. It's creating something where you can move things. You know, the old analogy used to be you're a paper pusher. You're moving things from the inbox to the outbox, essentially.
Right.
Moving things from one stack to the next. This is a glorified way of pushing paper by running these reports and analyzing the data and all this other bullshit, all this engagement that you want to get. Is any of that really translating to anything? I was listening to Rogan the other day. He goes, watch this. I'm going to post something on Twitter. You watch how, or Instagram, watch how many bots infiltrate this post.
I heard that, yeah.
Literally, it took less than 10 seconds for that post to be made that it had about 8 responses on it, all bots.
Yeah.
And people are seeing this and it's creating this idea of engagement. Well, look at the analytics. Look at what I'm getting. Look at what these reports are telling me. It's telling me I've got all these followers and I've got all these likes and look at the people who are engaging it. Elon Musk with the bots, like their Twitter is stating that a lot of these accounts that are floating out there are not real, but we're being lulled into this false sense of what technology is doing for us. And I think it needs to get scaled back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think everybody is kind of mentally drained from all the technology. And we hit that sweet spot probably somewhere in the like 90s, early 2000s, where like we had just enough technology where it made things convenient, but it didn't, you know, overwhelm us. And now it's starting to overwhelm things.
Yeah, I think the transition from dial-up internet to high-speed internet made a huge difference because you could never really be that efficient using dial-up internet because it was so slow. I mean, literally, it might take you 24 hours to download a song at times. When you were sitting there on LimeWire or Napster or Kazaa trying to download this song, it could take a long period of time just to get one song downloaded. And now we have that at the push of a button. The fact that you have your entire iTunes library on your phone, all the access to podcasts and photos, that's all great stuff. But when it tries to start telling you how to dictate tasks and let's sign up for this Zoom call, I've got a Zoom meeting at this time. My calendar is full. I'm so busy that I don't know what to do. That's when it starts becoming a problem. Like, I really do hate when anything is on my calendar as far as things I have to do, scheduling the meetings, anything like that. But there's people, a younger generation, who thrive off of that. If they see that their calendar is booked, they are, they feel as though they're busy or accomplishing something when really nothing takes place during those meetings. It's basically a waste of an hour so that everybody can kill some time. And I realize when I get on some of these Zoom calls, when I do those things with somebody,
they're wasting time.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
They need something that's going to book up an hour of their day between 11 a.m. and lunch. Like, that is the sole purpose of their being, and nothing gets accomplished in that time.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, because I noticed that too. Excuse me. When people, a lot of times, like if I'm on a call, like ordering something, it's like they're chit chatting me up and stuff. And I'm like, I gotta go. Let me get off the phone. Like, and it's things like that where I think there are a lot of people out there though, where jobs, they kind of hire way too many people that have these
to
little,
all do the same thing essentially, yeah, because nobody's up to snuff on what it, of how things should actually be ran.
Right. And it's like, I think people end up just kind of, you know, getting through the day. They're looking for stuff to do. Whereas if you're actually a busy person, which there's tons of people out there like that, they're on a different, like, they're in a different mindset than those other people. It's like there's two different types of people.
Busy and efficient are two different things.
Yeah.
You can be busy and not be efficient or not really take on the right kind of tasks. And I've noticed something about myself. Like, I get in those mindsets at times where I'm like, you know, you hear people talk about, well, keep a daily planner and break down your day into this and that. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't fucking work. That's bullshit. And you're spending more time planning things out than actually executing. If you just do what you're supposed to, that's for people who don't necessarily have the capability to stay organized or on top of things enough to know what they have to accomplish in a given day. But if you're wasting the first hour of your morning breaking down your day, yeah, like, you could be halfway through your tasks by then. And I'm guilty of this at times too. And this kind of, you know, the last episode we did for the podcast, when I was talking about, you know, I got out to the property, I was reading the book, and, yeah, you know, I was trying to figure out, you know, plan things out. And I'm like, I got deterred because, there's no water source. My buddy Brandon, he's like, he texts me, he goes, I'm literally yelling at my radio right now or at my phone when I listen to, yeah, this, because you don't need any of that. Throw that book away and just, right, start planning shit. There are so many things that you can plant without a water source and all this other shit. He goes, yeah, you just need to go out and do it. And he's exactly right.
Yeah.
I overthink things and I spend more time actually planning things out,
right,
than actually just doing it.
Yeah.
And he graciously offered to help me with the process a little bit. And I'm going to take him up on it for sure. But I'm also going to start just doing things, because, yeah, planning it all out, it's, you'll never be productive that way. Sure, if you're building a house or doing something like that, that's a grand scale, yeah, you're going to want to take some time and be a little more calculated with that. But I think we get into this mindset where everything has to be documented or thought through, and by then it's too late, you know?
Yeah, but I think it kind of goes back to also that thing we were just talking about with how, like, some people have a ton to do when they go to work in a day and some people don't. So, like, that there are people that have that, like, first hour of their day where they're like, well, I need something to do, so I'm going to plan my day out for the first hour of the,
sure,
day. Then they'll go to the next thing. And I know that, like, even, like, with my wife, her, like, as a teacher, they usually have, like, 1 hour a day where it's called, like, you know, like, basically, their conference hour.
Yeah, conference hour. There you go.
Yeah, and they can do their work and stuff there. And it's like, that sounds like, to me at least, it sounds like a second lunch hour or something.
Sure.
But,
well, it sounds like something that would normally just take place in, if you're having to plan things out, that's just prep work. That's just part of your day. But it's a different situation though too, when, right, you have a room full of kids.
Yeah.
They need your full attention. So there's a lot of stuff that you would theoretically not be able to get to during that time.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is, like, I think everybody's day is just different. So I think if you're looking at it from, you know, somebody like yourself where it's like you have shit to do all day where you're just going from one thing to the next to the next, then, yeah, I think it is kind of pointless to do that. But if you're in a situation where, like, you kind of, because I've talked to people before where they're like, man, I'm just trying to get through the day. I'm trying to find things to do. I'm trying to look busy. And it's like,
you're like, I wish that was the situation.
Yes and no, once in a while. But
sure.
Yeah, they're because I've noticed too, when we slow down a little bit, I'm like, I wish we could get a little bit busier. Just like yeah. the happy medium, not too busy, not too slow.
There's never a happy medium, though. It's either feast or famine, it seems like.
I feel like there is, but it's not very long. It's like a month, and then it's back to one or the other.
You blink and you miss it. Yeah. But do you think this is kind of the problem in the... in the labor force in general, that, you know, I heard Jerome Powell talking to Congress the other day about, you know, the unemployment rate. And, you know, it's like, well, how do you define the unemployment rate? And it's like, well, these are people who are unemployed but actively seeking work. So how do you define that for starters? Because it is very low right now. Unemployment's very low. I think it will start to creep up, and in reality, it could be a bigger number than we think, because so many people ask me, it's always that thing like, I don't know what these people are doing who aren't working. I don't know how they're collecting a paycheck and who these people are and blah, blah, blah. I go, how many people do you know that aren't working?
Right.
And the answer from everybody is always nobody. I don't know anybody that's not working. It's like, because that doesn't exist.
Right.
There aren't people just sitting back collecting. There's always going to be an element of that in society. Sure. But I don't think it's worse because of the stimulus money that was put out there. I think those people have since returned to work because they couldn't collect that big fat unemployment check anymore. And I think what is happening is there are just so many more jobs that need to be filled.
Yeah.
There are so many more fast casual restaurants that need people. I made this point the other day, 26 Mile Road. You look at all those, there's about in that small little area, 12 new fast casual restaurants or quick businesses that need at least 4 to 5 people in there at a time to be fully staffed.
Yeah.
That's 60 jobs right there in a quarter mile radius that were created right. in the last 2 years. Now, that might not seem 60 people. How hard is it to get 60 people? Well, when those jobs are available, it means the jobs further north don't get filled. So all these new businesses, all these online companies, all these places that need people to fill those roles, it's going to create a shortage because you have more jobs than people.
Right. And that's something.
But is it something that is unnecessary? Is it something that these companies don't realize that when they hire 50 people to work on this specific app that's supposed to manage your day-to-day thing, is that even necessary? Are there enough users to justify the amount of staff and what it costs? So many of these companies, they don't care about profitability at the end of the day. It's customer acquisition and knowing that you have a business that has active users. You don't necessarily have to be profitable. So of course they don't care about their labor.
Right. I mean, I think it all depends on, you know, what you think yourself. I mean, because for us, I know we always think like, oh, we need more people. We need to fill positions. And whereas maybe other people would see us and be like, no, I don't think you do. And like, especially like, cause to me with, these like app companies and things like that, yes, it seems ridiculous to me, but I'm sure they think like, nah, we need to keep growing and doing this and that. Cause I know you were saying like how, with this Inksoft platform, it's like they're charging more money. So like the people they end up losing.
Yeah. It'll make up for it.
It'll make up for it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like for them, it's less people to deal with probably. And
yeah, but they were acquired by a bigger company.
Okay.
There was an acquisition that was made. This is that, what is it called? The venture capital money that's been put into the market. Like, and there's a friend of mine who's going through a process of trying to sell a much larger company to, and it's the VCs that are looking at them. It's these groups that own other similar businesses.
Right.
And they don't care about profit at the end of the day.
No,
they really don't. And it seems counterintuitive not to care about profit, but they just care about folding it into their portfolio. And how does this work overall? Like, no different. It's a tax write-off at the end of the day for these bigger companies. It's no different than when somebody goes and, you know, at the end of the year, they make a purchase for equipment. Like, that's so they don't have to claim profit at the end of the year. They're putting their profit into, a tax write-off that can be depreciated over the next 5 years. They do that at the end of the year instead of having to claim that and give 30% to Uncle Sam. Like, that's what these people are doing as well. So you're creating this economy where the labor market is competitive, yet you're having, let's even say, because most businesses are small businesses, on the grander scale, those big corporations, those companies of 500 plus employees, they don't even care about profits at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we're living in this economy where small businesses are going to be fighting for labor because they're fighting against other companies that really don't care about their bottom line.
Yeah, and that I think you're going to end up forcing the small businesses out fairly soon. I mean, I don't think it's going to be something you're going to, and I definitely don't think you're going to see a lot of people opening up like small businesses as much, because I think they're afraid to. You're going to lose out.
I've seen a lot of small businesses sell off in the last 2 years.
Well, why not?
They're at their breaking point. They're closing up, or they're selling to somebody bigger who's going to take a run at it.
Yeah, because what do you do? I mean, I know I'm running into the same issue over at the warehouse where we've had a printer that kind of went down, and they've now, it's like a RIP software.
Oh, yeah.
And they've moved it all to cloud-based, and it's like, it's more expensive. It's going to be more complicated to run. It's like, just give me the basics. It's a printer. Let me just hit print and let it send.
I had a similar situation with a printer. My wife bought one just so we would have something at the house to print, you know, the kids' school calendar and little projects for them to do. Maybe nothing that we need daily usage for, like we would here at the business. But she goes, do we want to sign up for the $3 a month subscription rate or the $5 a month subscription rate? We can, at $3, we can print it. It says it'll get us about 10 sheets a month. And at $5, we can do like 25 sheets a month. I said, what are we paying for? We bought the printer.
Yeah.
We've got the paper. What is this subscription for? She goes, well, that's just an estimation off of how much ink you'll use. So at $3 a month, it's saying that you'll go and you'll need to have ink replaced in, you know, a year. At five, it would be after 6 months. It's just this math that works out. I said, why can't I just order ink when I'm out of ink? Why? How about at that point, instead of being this monthly subscription fee for ink, how about I just order ink when we're low?
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that. Well, why can't you fucking do that? That's how we've done it for the last 30 years.
Ink is a scam. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I've watched videos on that before where it's like, the printers are so cheap because they charge so much for ink, and they say a lot of times there's a lot of ink left over in there, but they have these little chips on the back, and it's like, says it's out, it's out.
And well, here's the other thing though, too. We're sitting on piles of ink that we've purchased the ink.
Right.
And then what happens is your printer takes a dump. And now the old ink is no longer compatible with the new ink. You stocked up, you bought in bulk to get a deal, but you've got 6 cartridges left and you don't have any use for it anymore because the new printer takes a different number ink now.
Let me give you this one. So
Such a fucking scam.
We have a printer over there where we buy, there's 4 colors. There's, you know, the cyan.
CMYK.
Yeah. And so for some god-awful reason, when you buy the 3-pack of colors, cyan never runs out.
Right.
So I buy the 3-pack.
You're sitting on so many extra cyan.
No joke, like probably 12 to 15.
Well, that's when you have to switch to the individual.
I know, but it's still, it's so much more expensive to get the individual
yeah,
ones.
It's just, I don't need everything to be a subscription rate. I don't need a monthly fee right. for everything. Like there's some things that are just a commodity. You buy it when you're ready. I've gotten rid of the butcher boxes. I've gotten rid of the HelloFresh and all the other BS that comes along with these subscription boxes, because it's basically, this goes once again to customer acquisition. This is those companies just need to show that they have a monthly user rate. And if you're paying every month, they know exactly what to expect and their investors know exactly what to expect.
Yeah. It's overwhelming with how much just garbage is out there to be bought and the little bumps in the road that you run into when you're trying to, set things up now.
Well, I really think from a work standpoint, the simpler, the better. It feels a little bit like we're going backwards, and some of the staff has that same feeling. They're like, well, it feels like we're just like, I said, yeah, but at this, by using these tools, we're not going to see these shakeups again. If we just stay on this and keep the course, we will be fine. And that 400 bucks a month, that's going to happen 2 years from now, it's probably going to be 500 another month down the road from there.
Yeah.
And these companies, once people realize that there's an easier way to do things,
right,
and that everything can basically be done using some Google tools that are free for the most part.
Yeah.
They're going to be out of luck. I think people are, we're sick of being tasked to death. Like,
yeah.
Stop feeling so overwhelmed. And like me clicking buttons to push things through a process doesn't mean I'm doing anything more effectively than I was right. before. I'm actually just wasting time. And like, we're these monkeys where it's like, push the button, get a banana.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And that's how it feels to me. It feels like here's the shiny object. Do your little monkey task to feel like you're getting a reward at the end of the day. Look at the button. When I press this button, look at the report it generates. This is so cool. This is so much better than what I was doing before. No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's not.
I have to do six of those buttons to do the one thing that, yes, did it take a little longer for me to type it out and actually like give you something? Yes, but I eliminated five steps through that process.
Right, because that stuff it's confusing. Whenever it comes over, it's like, oh my gosh. Whenever I see those like order forms come over, I'm like, okay, all right.
And it's okay to do things. It's okay to like do manual labor when it comes to that.
Right.
It's okay. Sometimes it's good to use your brain, because I think sometimes you pick up on things that you normally wouldn't have. If you, these kind of software programs are not flawless. Like
no.
I saw one, I ran through the report, and if I would have gone off the report, it wouldn't have caught the fact that it didn't show a back print on this printout.
Right.
And I asked them about that. And they said, well, it's the way you set it up. It's not showing it's showing the product as no decoration. I said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it right now. The report's telling me that there's a front print. It's just not showing the back. Then their next excuse. Well, if you would have done it through this process, that wouldn't have happened. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you why it didn't do it here.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to give me a solution for how I should do it next time. I'm telling you at this stage, with the way that you let me do it, there is a flaw in how this report is generated.
Right.
So that's why sometimes just taking a little bit of extra time and keeping your eyes on it will cause there to be, you'll catch little mistakes. It happens all the time. And I catch a mistake that was made somewhere at art. You catch a mistake that I made when I was typing it out. We have these checks and balances in place so that we can flag those kind of things. But a report, if it's done wrong in one spot, it's never going to be caught because you're not manually doing anything. You're living and dying by the report that's generated.
Right. And I think that's the thing is whenever, I know for me and for the employees over at the warehouse, whenever we get like a spreadsheet, just like a printed off spreadsheet, it's so much easier to sort things out.
Yeah.
It doesn't complicate things. It's just bing, bang, boom. It's out the door.
Fuck you, technology.
Yeah.
You ain't doing me no favors right now.
And
you ain't soft. I'm canceling you next month. You're done. We're over here.
stop making me update my iOS system.
Yeah, that's another thing. That how you could we could go on forever about how those companies just they basically make your phone start running slower so that you buy a new one, and it's we're becoming slaves to it. And I think if there's not some real pushback, the next generation, I mean, they're solely like, that's how they operate. That's everything to them. I think it would be to go back and do things in an antiquated way. They don't understand that there's a simpler way to do it. They just think they like the shiny object, and that's what we've been accustomed to. So we need to get out of that mindset a little bit.
Yeah. Step back from.
So this was either a good rant or something where people are like, it makes no sense to me.
I'm sure for some, it will, you know, they'll relate and some won't.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But thanks for listening to The Disconnect. We'll be back in your feed next week. I got to get Phil back to the warehouse. We're still busy, man.
Yeah.
Work didn't slow down. We're coming up on that 4th of July weekend next week. So we'll have something about maybe the 4th of July or taking a little bit of a break here.
There we go.
So, all right, guys, don't forget the struggle is real. Thanks for listening.